You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. It's a joy to see you here for worship. Our worship today is about the Christian who lives in a faithless world. So we're going to talk about faith in a faithless world. And yet we find great encouragement despite the strong law that we're going to hear. And we hear great, wonderful comfort in the idea that Jesus is the first and the last. How important for us to remember that with our faith in a faithless world. We begin our worship with our first hymn, which is, there it is. We sing the Almighty Power of God, hymn 504. We sing the Almighty Power of God, hymn 504.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Tim Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word. Our worship this morning follows setting 8, and that'll be on the screen today. We will join the congregation and sing our opening hymn number 504 from the Christian Worship Hymnal. We sing the Almighty Power of God, hymn number 504.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen.
The congregation will now sing the Gloria tune as printed on the screen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Isaiah 44, starting at verse 6. Here we see that wonderful comfort for our faith. He is the first and the last. He was there at the beginning when he created the world. He was there when he made you, and he will be there when he takes you to glory. We read. This is what the Lord, the King of Israel, Israel's Redeemer, the Lord of armies, says. I am the first, and I am the last. Except for me, There is no God, for who is like me? Let him declare it. Let him recite in order for me the things that took place since the time I established an ancient people, or let them declare what is yet to come and what is going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be frightened. Did I not announce this to you and declare it already long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God except me? There is no other rock. I am not aware of any other. All those who form an idol are good for nothing. All the things which delight them provide no benefit. As for their witnesses, they do not see. They know nothing. So they will be ashamed. Who is this who forms a god or casts a metal image that can provide no profit? Look at him. All his associates will be ashamed. The craftsmen are merely men. Let them all gather themselves and take a stand. They will be terrified and ashamed together. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our psalm for today. You'll find it in the Psalter on page 85. It is Psalm 19C. Psalm 19C, found in the Psalter on page 85.
We will now sing Psalm 19C, found in the Psalter on page 85. Psalm 19C on page 85 of the Psalter.
Our epistle reading will serve as our sermon text today, so we're going to move on to the gospel acclamation. Ray, can you move it forward, please? Please rise for our gospel acclamation. Alleluia. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Alleluia. Our gospel lesson is found in Matthew chapter 13, selected verses. It is the parable of the weeds among the wheat. This reminds us of our life in a sinful world. Lord, you got the power. Why don't you just take us out of this world and get rid of all those who don't believe in you? And yet in his grace, he keeps us here with them, that he may claim them as well. He wants us to change the weeds into wheat. Let us look at the time that is most important, the harvest. And let us remember that is when he gives us relief and justice. We read from Matthew 13. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, the weeds also appeared. The servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" He said to them, "An enemy did this." The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and gather up the weeds?" "No," he answered. "Because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'First gather up the weeds, bind them in bundles, and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus sent the people away and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world. The reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will pull out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, The Law of God is Good and Wise, hymn 637. Hymn 637, The Law of God is Good and Wise.
The congregation will now sing hymn number 637 from the Christian worship hymnal, The Law of God is Good and Wise. Hymn number 637 from the Christian worship hymnal.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. You're children of our Heavenly Father. I had to tease Pastor Ertl. He had exchanged this Sunday with me, well, okay, this Thursday with me, because we have a special preacher coming on Sunday. And he had done it a couple months ago, but I forgot. And so this week I wasn't quite ready on Monday. And then I looked at the text that I had, and oh my, Pastor Ertl, you're giving me this text to preach on? This is one that has a bit of fire and brimstone in it, and it's probably important for us to know and to see so that we understand where our God is coming from, to understand His holiness and yet come before Him humbly asking for His grace. This is what it means to have faith in a faithless world. It's to trust the God who preaches the law, who tells us to be holy, but who also provides holiness for us in Christ Jesus. Our text today is the epistle reading. Let me read it for you. Indeed, God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and righteousness of people who try to suppress the truth by unrighteousness. This happens because what can be known about God is evident among them, because God made it evident among them. In fact, His invisible characteristics, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, because they are understood from the things He made. As a result, people are without excuse, because even though they knew God, they did not honor Him or give Him thanks as God. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they have become fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal humans or like birds, four-footed animals, and crawling things. So as they followed the sinful desires of their hearts, God handed them over to the impurity of degrading their own bodies among themselves. Such people have traded the truth about God for the lie, worshiping and serving the creation rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Paul is introducing his book of Romans, which is a masterpiece of theology that God inspired him to write. In the first verses of the book of Romans, up to verse 17, he is describing the heart of his teaching, and that is the gospel message that sinners have righteousness because Christ gives them His righteousness. But that does not mean that he is unaware of injustice and hurt in our world. He's not unaware that people do bad things to each other. And he wants to make it clear that absolutely everyone, that includes you and me, absolutely everyone is under the law. And even we need to learn that for ourselves. Let's take a look how to live our faith in a faithless world. We recognize the natural knowledge of God, and we understand the limits of a sinful conscience. Let's take a look. God's wrath. That's what it starts out with. That's why I was teasing Pastor Ertl. My goodness, what a way to start a sermon. God's wrath. God's anger. His righteous anger over sin is on all sinners. That's you and me. These are some words that ought to make us all shake in our boots. God made a hell. He made it for the angels, and He will send people there as well. If they don't want to be with him while he's here, while they're here on earth, he will oblige them. He will be as nice as he can be, and you don't have to be with me in heaven either. And they will go to that place where there are no blessings of God at all. God is angry at sin. But we as Christians have a little bit different point of view on that, don't we? I want you to remember what God said to the people of Israel as Moses gave them the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The first thing he started with was, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of slavery. I've saved you. I want you to be with me. I want you to be my special people. Before he gave them his law, he told them what he has already done. He saved them. Is he not showing that he loves us? And as we learn from Jesus, there are some very important things about the law. The law is spiritual, Jesus says. Even the law, which gives us commands and threatens us with punishment, is one that comes with love. In fact, the very summary of the law is love. And God's light of holiness, which we just sang about, is an expression of that love. He has never sinned against anyone. How important for us to see that. We have a different understanding of what's there. But notice what we do with our sins. Paul points it out, we suppress the truth with our unrighteousness, with our ungodliness. Every day as we live our lives and we fall into sin, we don't represent God well. We don't communicate to those around us the love of God, which God wants us to do. And so we lead people down the wrong path. Every sin we do against another is something that makes problems. And, you know, when you see the problem, you got to get the right tool to fix it, right? And our world looks at that and they say, well, let's just jettison the law. Let's get rid of the law. That way I don't have to be held accountable, and therefore there's no way to send me to hell. I'll go right to heaven. You know, that's kind of like fixing a computer program with a hammer or fixing a nail with a computer. Neither work, right? How important for us to see that God has told us exactly how he makes it work. From nature, he showed his love. He gave us the natural knowledge of God. A couple of our songs sang about that today. God shows us love when he brings the rain to raise the crops. And he sends his rain on both the evil and the good. He has shown his love. And he's shown his wisdom in that. And yet, what do the people of our world say? It's so interesting. I'm a bit of an astronomy geek. And they've been discovering new planets around other stars. And they said, well, goodness, there's going to be all kinds of places where we can fly to eventually, and we can live on those planets. You know what they're discovering? That most of the solar systems, in fact, almost all the solar systems in our galaxy, don't have the arrangement we have with the stony planets closer to the sun where life can happen. It's the great giants that are closer to the sun in almost every other solar system. Kind of interesting, isn't it? God made this solar system special for his special people. How sad that they can't see God's work in nature, that he made this place for us. That God is out there. But we do see him, don't we? We see him in that law, and we see him in that nature. We have that natural knowledge of God, and we see in our conscience that he's holy. When guilt comes our way, when we understand that we owe good things to others and we don't come to that standard, we feel guilty. Animals don't necessarily feel guilty. When the lion takes down the antelope, he does so to feed his family, and he's not guilty about that at all. If we would do that, first thing our heart would do is pump a little hard, wouldn't it? How important for us to see that God is helping us not wear a mask of hypocrisy like our world does. But we also got to beware that we don't wear the mask of false piety. That we look like we're the ones who are better than those around us, because we too can sin against our conscience. We too can sin. And what do we need to do? We need to recognize that our God is out there and we must flee to Him. When He gives His strong law like this, He wants you to go and find relief for your heart and for your soul. Seek the Lord while He may be found. We can go to Him because we know who He is. He is the one who blesses us with forgiveness. He is a merciful God. And we have heard Him not just speak the law, but the gospel message of Christ Jesus. That gospel message of Christ Jesus shines even brighter and more holy when you put it against that black background of God's condemnation. We deserve death, but He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us life in Christ Jesus. Sadly, it doesn't get much better. Our world tries to make God into who they want Him to be. And that's kind of what God is complaining about in the second part. It reminds us of the limits of our conscience, the limits of our mind, the limits of our free will. All those things are bound up in sin. Their logic doesn't work right when they exclude from any equation that God is the creator of the world. That atoms can't exist with God making that power stay in one tiny space to make that atom. Scientists still don't know why it works that way. How important for us to not be those who are from the world. Although they claim to be wise, our scripture says, they have become fools and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal humans or like birds, four-footed animals, and crawling things. Look what has happened because of sin in their minds. It has sent them down a path where they don't even ask the right questions. That they can't ask the questions that include God because they've already rejected Him. God gave up these unbelievers to their own unreasonableness, and it has led them down a terrible path. They have to make a God from somewhere, and what do they usually come up with? Oh, well, I'm my own God. They're certainly willing to talk about how, you know, hey, you got to be a nice person to everybody around you, but they choose what it means to be nice. And they talk about their morality as better. They make themselves their own God, establishing their own law. And they pretend that they even can succeed at it. And those who say, you know, you shouldn't be going after those people or the others, they go after the Christians. How sad. Their hypocrisy shows through their mask. They put on a mask that tries to make them more holy than everything else. They try to put on a mask that shows that they are moral, and it just fails completely. It gets so bad that God hands them over to their lusts, to the point where their desire is sensuality. We're seeing that especially in the States these days, where it's about sensuality and it's about being nice to everybody. What does it mean to be nice? Isn't it good to warn them of the destruction they're going to? Isn't it good to help them turn away from things that destroy themselves, that bring them illnesses and diseases and the desires to commit suicide? But that's where they go. What have they got to point out? That rates of violence and rates of disease have gone up since we started teaching crazy things in our schools? They don't even recognize what parts fit. How sad. We need to understand that that limit of their free will, the limits of their mind, have also affected us. We have been infected by the sinful world, and we too are corrupted in our sinful nature. Our wisdom is nowhere near as high as the Lord's, and we can't even think that it would be. The only difference we have is that we can recognize wisdom when it comes. That we look to the Lord for the way His world works. That we look to the Lord for the guidance we need to live our lives. That we find in Him the strength to live when the world absolutely hates us, because we call ourselves made holy. We're just saying that God gave us holiness and you can have it too. And they hate it because they want to do it themselves. How sad. Let us make sure we understand what God is doing in our midst. While the world continues down that strange and destructive path that turns away from God at every step and finds greater stories to make up what happened by God's creation, to mask what happened by God's creation, yet God is renewing His life in us, renewing His image in us, when He brings us to faith. Our world is proud of their shame. They keep doing the things that destroy themselves. And yet, we too feel shame, don't we? You see, God wants you here so that you can talk about that with those who are out there. That when you know that you have sinned against your God, you can say to them, you too can find relief. You too can go to your God in repentance and turn your life around and find confidence and strength to live in this world. That's why He leaves you as wheat among the weeds. Help, do respond to the shame that comes into your hearts when the law strikes you in your conscience. Respond to that with the one thing that God gives for us to find relief: the grace and mercy found in Christ, that He paid for your sins, that He paid the highest price of all for you. It's amazing what the world will say. It's amazing what the world will do. But here we see the grace of God as well. He keeps calling out for His children. And even though He speaks the law with strong and powerful words, the wrath of God is being revealed. Even though people feel that in their hearts and in their consciences when they have strayed from God's word, we have the relief that they need to have. Let us make sure we live it. Let us make sure that we show them that they too can be God's children. Let us enjoy, share what we have. I love that phrase in the Old Testament reading, which is almost exactly like, it says almost the same thing that our New Testament text did, except it starts out with that really wonderful, comforting thought, I am the first and I am the last. What a comfort to know that God hasn't abandoned us. And that although He has abandoned many to their own sins so that they would wake up and evaluate for themselves, gee, how good is this working for me? Yet God is still there, ready to receive them if they come in repentance. And how wonderful that is for us, because we know it. And we experience it Sunday after Sunday, Thursday after Thursday. We come here and we repent of our sins. And what does God have us announce? By the power of Christ Jesus, He has forgiven you your sins. God was there at your creation. He is the first. God is here. He is with us today. And God is the last. He will be there when He takes you to your heavenly Father and away from this corruption that leads to hell. And there we will see our heavenly pardoning Father, who will embrace us and welcome us home. That's what it means to have faith in a faithless world. To know that God has promised that we will get to the harvest and He will take us to heaven. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for our prayers. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Your anger and Your wrath over sin frightens us. We know who we are. We know we can only depend upon Your mercy. And so when You speak to us with such strong words, You condemn our very hearts. Lord God, in this corrupted world, remind us also of Your grace. Don't let that teaching be there alone. But use that teaching of the law to lead us to seek You and to find You in Your grace. You who chose to be with us. You who chose to send Your only Son to be our Savior. You who chose to live in our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Lord God, remind us of these things when we are frightened and feel guilty about our own sins. Lord God, help us to help the world around us. We are wheat among weeds, and it is such a danger that even our hearts can be choked out and the spiritual life can be taken from us in this sinful world. It is dangerous for our faith. Lord God, bless us with the strength only You can give. Bless us with a hope that You have promised. Bless us in our very hearts with the words to use to respond to this, to these people with the faith that comes from You. Strengthen our faith every day. Cause us to hold tight to Your promise of grace and mercy. Keep us faithful to Your love, which You have shown in Christ Jesus. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who has paid for our sins and given us eternal life. Amen. Our offering will be at the door. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 770, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Please join the congregation in singing hymn number 770, God of Grace and God of Glory, hymn number 770 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, From All That Dwell Below the Skies.
Please join the congregation in singing our final hymn, hymn number 605 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, From All That Dwell Below the Skies, hymn number 605 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Good evening once again. Just really one announcement today, and that is we have a brat fry tomorrow. It's going to be here in the parking lot down there. We're raising a little bit of money for our school. We want all our people to attend. Yes, Sig, you got to come across the street to get a brat. So, all right, got to give them a hard time. Everyone else can come as they head up north. They can grab a brat as they go, and it begins, I believe, the time is on the door there, but I think it's 5 to 7. Does that sound right? So, perfect time to grab a brat and go. There are some other announcements in your bulletin. There's opportunities to study God's Word with Bible classes and such. Please make opportunities to do those. Good evening to all of you, and God bless.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 620 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913, are greatly appreciated. Please mark your calendars for August 23rd. It is Bring a Friend to a Picnic Sunday. We will have a potluck and church service at the school at 10 a.m. So again, note that service time is 10 a.m. on August 23rd. Third, and we will have the Unworthy Band playing Andy's school open house, so we invite everyone to join us that day. The television producer is Will Underwood. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Penultimate Sacrifice, Dr. Michael Ziegler's message for Memorial Day, this week on the Lutheran Hour.